This one, which is a common theme, actually. One of the most important aims of education is to close the gap between advantaged and disadvantaged children. Homework, even if it is effective, which is debatable, does the exact opposite. And that's from a teacher. Thank you for all of those messages this morning. So Nicky's coming up next. He's talking about antisocial behaviour. I'll be heading to Liverpool this afternoon, hoping to talk to the Prime Minister, putting some of your questions to him. You'll hear that. Fingers crossed. Tomorrow, me and Claire back from 6 o'clock.
Yeah, see you then.
See you then.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Nicky Campbell.
The voice of the UK.
Good morning. Welcome to The Nation's Phone In. It's one for you, this. A case of welcome to my world. We want to know what's going on where you are. February 2023. The then Shadow Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, said in a speech, antisocial behaviour is corroding local and social economic fabric in communities. Today, she's the Home Secretary, and she will say in her speech, we'll hear a bit of it later, rising streetcar crime is corroding the fabric of our communities. That word again, her chosen word, is it a well-chosen word? Is that what it's like? Does that resonate where you are? Or is this another day, another Home Secretary talking tough and chasing the headlines, the Daily Mail Holy Grail? Or is it a new Home Secretary getting tough and chasing down the yobs? Sorting out local communities. And how are they going to do that? Making streets safer. How are they going to do that? Now, you know what we're talking about. All too well, perchance. Shoplifting, off-road bikes, harassment, intimidating behaviour, drug use, littering, street drinking. The big stuff and the small stuff. Except it's not the small stuff when it happens. Police are going to have new powers to scrap dirt and quad bikes. And there's a lot of rural antisocial behaviour as well. Let's hear about that too. There's going to be hit squads to target knife point robberies. They want mobile phone companies to put in a kill switch on new phones to stop them being stolen. You know, what's actually happening where you live? What does it look like where you are? How does it manifest itself? Antisocial behaviour. Who's doing it? Why are they doing it? How do we stop it? What would help fix it? What would make life better? We want to hear from you all over the country. It's a big one, this. It's what we do, and it's what you do best when you come on and tell us and give a picture of what's really going on. And politicians listen to The Nation's Phone-In. They'll be listening to you. Is antisocial behaviour corroding your community? Tell us about it.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Message on WhatsApp 08085 909 693. Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms for our terms of use and privacy notice.
Is it the cops? Is it the councils? Is it community groups? Tell us what's going on on the neighbourhood WhatsApp groups about all this antisocial behaviour and you. It's very nearly 9:03. Here is the news from Nick Hatfield.
Thank you, Nicky. Good morning. Israeli airstrikes continued overnight in southern Lebanon as thousands of people fled their homes. Lebanon's health ministry says almost 500 people were killed yesterday. Israel says it's targeting Hezbollah, but Lebanon says most of the sites were residential. Keir Starmer will warn of a shared struggle and tough decisions ahead when he makes his first Labour conference speech as Prime Minister later. But speaking in Liverpool, he'll say despite that, there is light at the end of the tunnel for Britain. A former chief executive of Harrods has told the BBC he saw abhorrent behaviour by the former owner Mohamed Al-Fayed. James MacArthur, who ran the company for 10 months in 2008, denied being aware of any sexual abuse. And police seizures of illegally modified electric bikes have risen significantly. Figures obtained by the Press Association show forces confiscated more than 900 e-bikes in the last year. That's up from just over 500.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker
to play BBC Radio 5 Live. Nicky Campbell.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Yeah, this word she uses, corrode, corroding local communities, antisocial behaviour. Tell us, please, what it's like wherever you are. Corrode, what are we talking about? Weakening, undermining, destroying gradually, tearing apart, ruining, degrading. Is that what it feels like? Katie in Bournemouth. Good morning, Katie. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. What's it like where you are?
What, the weather or just the general neighbourhood?
Not the weather. I can do an hour on the weather quite
terrible.
Happily. The antisocial behaviour, is it raining on your town?
It has been raining on my town for the last 2 years since we moved down from London. We always had really lovely neighbours when we were in London and used to dog sit for them and go around for a glass of wine and nice things like that. And I bought a little flat down in Bournemouth, and I have joint freehold with the landlord, who doesn't actually live upstairs, but he rents it out. And there's not very good soundproofing, which is the first issue, which I've tried to speak to him about, but he's ignored me. And we've had a string of really terrible neighbours, including the last people who used to let their kids urinate in our pathway, and just the noise is just
that's not good.
Not good, is it? It's not normal.
And okay, let me stop you there. Now, some people might be thinking, oh, this is trivial stuff. It is absolutely not trivial stuff when that is happening, and this is what it's all about. Antisocial behaviour can take many forms, and this is a constant aggravation. So the kids were urinating on your path. When it happened, did you have a word?
Yes, I did. And, I mean, you know, they live upstairs in the flat, so it's not like there was too far to go to the toilet. So, yes, I had a word. I asked if they could very kindly be a little bit quieter, but it just didn't really, it didn't really work. And I'm a single parent with a 12-year-old, and I find it difficult. I don't really like confrontation because I class myself as a very, nice person. I've always had nice neighbours, but I don't really like, I don't really like confrontation. I struggle with ADHD as well, so I just find it very difficult if I'm not in my own space and I've got privacy, and I just find things more challenging, I think. So I spoke to the landlord about various things, but I've actually, I'm handling it by not handling it, because it's so stressful to deal with it that I've had to I handle it every now and then when I can, but, I'm going to put a higher fence up, which will sort things out somewhat, but it's the noise that's the real issue, and the upkeep of the property, because I'm a joint freeholder and it's not being looked after. So it's just, It's dealing with it in very small steps, which is
I understand
tricky,
what you're saying. Dealing with it by not dealing with it. And the thing is, it's ultimately a lot of this stuff, and we're going to hear about it from all over the country, is down to just a lack of consideration for others. Stick around. Levi and Bristol coming up. Danny Shaw, policing and justice commentator, formerly of the BBC, of course, was a senior advisor to Yvette Cooper during her time as the Shadow Home Secretary. Danny, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Morning, Nikki. Hi.
She likes this word, corrosive, corroding local communities. You think, is it a well-chosen word?
I think it sort of sums up the way that I think people experience antisocial behaviour and the impact that it's having. It's not one big thing, it's not one big crime necessarily, but it's a series of smaller issues,
as we heard there,
as we just heard there, which have that impact over a period of time, and it leads to a situation where you have a community, a road, a neighbourhood, which just looks sort of not very pleasant. Crime, confessed to crime, can then be encouraged as part of that. It's that sort of broken windows theory, I think, of many years ago. You know, if you don't
fix
the
New York
the small
one, isn't
things,
it?
The broken windows, then it encourages more crime and bigger crime and so on. So I think it's the correct description. This is something I think, from having worked with Yvette Cooper, I think is really close to her heart. She really feels quite passionately about this. I think, you know, she's a very dedicated constituency MP. And when she would go to her constituency and come back to the office in Westminster, you know, during the week, she'd talk about the what she'd heard and what she'd seen herself from talking to people in her constituency about their concerns, whether it be street drug dealing, whether it be off-road biking. And so I think she was determined to try and do something about this. And what we're seeing today with this package is what Labour promised in opposition and put in their manifesto. And these are probably small steps, Nikki, because there's not a lot of money to spend on this problem. So what you've got to do is try and tweak the law and make it work a bit better and make it a bit simpler for police and other local councils to apply for these measures, for these respect orders and so on, that can try and tackle the problem.
Yeah, the broken windows thing is really interesting. It was a New York initiative, wasn't it? And the psychology behind it was deemed to be along the lines that, as you alluded to, Danny, if you get the little things right, there's a general sense, more of a sense of community and more of a sense of pride and more of a sense of responsibility and more of a sense of feeling better about what's going on around you.
Yes, and also it has a very serious sort of anti-crime message as well, because the broken window, the graffiti that doesn't get cleared up, sends a message that no one's really bothered about dealing with that or tackling the offenders behind it. And that, you know, gives off an impression that that area can be used to deal drugs or for street drinking or commit other crimes, and there's no possibility of being caught. But if you stamp down on the small things, then that creates an impression about an area that crime won't be tolerated. So I think that's, you know, what all communities would hope would happen. The reality is, I don't think there's the police resources to be able to do that in every single community. But certainly, you know, you can start by trying to make local neighbourhoods, town centres, safer places for people to congregate. I mean, I just would say one thing, Nikki, is, you know, we've had measures before, haven't we? The previous Labour government, 1998 under Blair, introduced antisocial behaviour orders known as ASBOs. They were very popular and used a lot by police and councils for a while, but then I think they became counterproductive because the breach rates were very high, up to 90% in some areas. And also some young people regarded an ASBO as a sort of badge of honour. And they were scrapped by Theresa May when she became Home Secretary in 2014.
So these respect orders then she wants to bring in, are they not just ASBOs by another name?
Similar to ASBOs, but not, I don't think, they won't apply to young people, certainly not people under the age of 16. I think they'll be phased in to see whether they work, but that they are going to operate in a similar way, I think, to antisocial behaviour orders. But sometimes what you need is a new initiative, is a new idea to try and capture people's imagination, to encourage police and local authorities to use that new measure to try and sort of draw attention to an issue. And it may well be that this package of measures is exactly what's needed in that respect.
Okay, let's hear from you then. It's 08085 909 693 850 58. So important and enlightening for many, I think, who maybe have not experienced this as much as others, to hear what is going on. The so-called small stuff, which ain't small at all, and the bigger stuff, and the whole lot. Tim Brain is former Chief Constable of Gloucestershire Police. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
We'll be with Levi in just a minute. What sort of stuff needs to be tackled? What does it look like in Gloucestershire, this antisocial behaviour? What is it?
Well, it's a very broad brush indeed. It ranges from everything from just a little bit of noise, maybe neighbours having a party, maybe young people just staying up late, chatting on the street corner, but getting a bit out of hand, maybe some drink, maybe drugs, maybe litter. And then it goes to the other extreme of town centre, city centre disorder, where you've got large groups gathering and their behaviour, whilst very rowdy, is falling short of the thresholds that you would need to be able to exercise powers and prosecute offences for public order and drunkenness offences. So it is quite a broad area. And you've already hit on it in your introduction around the fact that this falls short of the crime threshold, but can cause immense discomfort for people living in certain communities. And so, it's useful to have this extra range of powers that the police can use. But in my opinion, of course, it has to be allied to a proper system of community-based policing as well.
And it's aggravating and it's constantly annoying. And some people might think, you know, through the walls, the doom, 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 doom is just, it's not trivial if you're living through it day after day after day. What people will also say and what people are saying is we have to address the root causes, why this is happening. What is breaking down in our society to lead people to behave like this? Any theories, Tim?
Well, I don't think it's a new phenomenon. That's the first thing.
That the truth? Yes. We've been doing phone-ins on this for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think we could go back to, I would certainly say the 80s, when we saw an increase in this kind of antisocial, let's just keep it that term, antisocial behaviour, broad brush, inconsiderate behaviour, both in public places and in near public places, across the divide between gardens and the space between houses, that kind of near public space. I would say we've had 40, 50 years of this. For a long time, there was just no initiative at all about it beyond a broad brush approach to community policing. But really, there's not much the police can do without powers behind it. So the police turn up. They say to a group of people, calm down, have consideration for other people. We don't want to come back here. And they go away. And of course, nothing happens. And then the police get distracted by a whole range of other incidents during that night and the days following. And the antisocial behavior remains unaddressed. So that's the kind of thing that's been building up. I'm not especially sure that it's hugely worse now. I just don't think it's got any better. And I think that's the problem that the incoming government want to do. They want, obviously, to have some kind of flagship pieces of legislation that will say they are doing things. They seem to be active in dealing with community concerns. And this very much fits the bill. So I'm not sure that this problem is hugely worse. I just don't think it's hugely better either. And, of course, we haven't got a lot of statistics that help us really put a baseline on what true antisocial behaviour is.
No, interesting, Tim. And I suppose there's a lot of politics to this as well. The last 14 years were all dreadful and we're so much better. Whether you think the last 14 years were in this regard or not, we're going to hear a lot of that from Yvette Cooper later on.
What we had with the last government, let's start with the coalition, the 2010 coalition, was a different mindset. You might agree with it, you might disagree with it. It was a different mindset. They came in on a ticket that basically said, we've seen under the last 10 years of a Labour government, too much legislation, too much restriction on individual freedoms, too many, let's just call them basically draconian laws without enough checks and balances. Now, I say you can disagree with that analysis, but that was their analysis. And that was what they put in place. So the threshold for the new community safety orders was a higher threshold than for the old antisocial behaviour orders, the ASBOs. So I anticipate we will see something in between, not quite such a low threshold as the old ASBOs, but an easier threshold for the police and maybe other agencies to access than the community safety orders.
Okay, just one more which has occurred to me, which I think might resonate with people, and keep these calls coming in. We'll come to the calls, we'll come to the text, we'll come to Levi and Bristol and George and Enfield and others. Littering is persistent and it's annoying, and some people might say it's trivial, but it really does. It's a blight of communities, because when you look round and you see all that, and also it's kind of just disappointing that people are 200 yards from a bin and they leave all that mess. Should members of the public, as a top cop, should members of the public have a word if they see somebody littering? I have, and have come to grief with a hair full of saliva as a result. What would you say to people? Because that's having a pride in your community isn't it? Oi, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to unpack there, but very quickly, I mean, littering, it is already an offence. I mean, dropping litter in a public place is an offence.
Who ever got nicked for that? I mean, you know.
But it's not necessarily a police job, is it? You could argue it's a local authority task to deal with that. But nevertheless, it's a concern for communities. I've heard this said over the years. I heard it as a defence back in the 1980s, early 1980s, why the police shouldn't get involved in minor, low-level, so-called low-level antisocial behaviour orders, behaviour, because, local communities, people who live in these communities can tackle it themselves. That's, I don't think, being very realistic. It can work. I've done it. I've done it when I saw some young lads littering the lay-by opposite. I said, just simply, hey, lads, come on. That's not very fair. Take it home. Take it with you. And do you know what? They did. I didn't do the heavy-handed, hey, you approach. I just said, come on, chaps, you know, be reasonable. Now, that's not going to work many times in many areas with many people. So you certainly can only intervene if you're fairly confident you're not going to get physically harmed yourself.
Okay, yes. Hey, George, how you doing? George in Enfield. Levi, I'll be with you. Get in touch, 85058 on the text, 08085 909693. Welcome, George. Thanks for getting in touch. What's going on?
That's all right. You must be desperate today. I try to get on this programme quite often. So obviously you've not got a lot of callers today. And no. This is the first time I've succeeded in ages.
Well,
anyway.
No, it's we're fine. We're fine. Listen, right. I'll read you the text in a minute. It's a lot of people have a lot to say about this, which is great. What have you got to say?
But the thing is, I was talking to a woman yesterday and I said to her, Sunday, I went out for a nice walk. And she said, I wouldn't go out walking now. It's too dangerous. Right. When I was a kid, I'm 67, so a long time ago. When I was a kid in Islington, right, we'd be scrumping. The police would arrest us, take us to the police station, put us in a cell. There's no police out on the streets anymore. There's no cells in the local, you know, they've sold off 700, haven't they? Local police stations. So, you know, when we'd be kicking a ball up against the wall and a neighbour would complain, or we'd smash a window by accident and a neighbour would complain, they'd take you straight down. Police would come round, take you straight down to the police station. You'd spend a couple of hours in the cell. They'd call your mum and dad. Your mum and dad would come down, tell you off, right? Mm. There's none of that anymore, is there? It's not feasible. There's no police on the streets. You've got to have, if you're going to have a deterrent, you've got to have a police on the streets. It's no good pretending. It's like anything, tax evasion or anything. If there's no one monitoring it, nothing's going to happen. And that's the problem in this country now. There's no one, there's no police out there doing anything. There's no one looking at antisocial behaviour. There's no one arresting kids, putting them, as I say, in the local police. There's no, we knew all the policemen around where we lived.
There's plenty of people walking around with very willing to put a ticket on your car.
Exactly. Yeah, there's lots of people doing that, but there's no actual police. And you knew, as I say, you knew your local police. I remember once when I got caught scrumping, the policeman got hold of me and he said to me, right, where do you live? Blah, blah, blah. I told him. He checked. He had an A to Z with him. He checked. He said, what's the next road to your turning? What's this? What's that? So he knew that I wasn't lying, right? You didn't lie. You, as I say, they took you out to the police station, they called your parents. You know, it's completely different now.
Do you have rose-tinted spectacles on? I'm not sure. Levi in Bristol's with us as well. Levi, good morning. Is it a case that George says there's no cops, there's no respect? Levi, in your experience, because you... Am I right in saying... Well, tell me, did you get an ASBO when you were younger? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, basically, I was also very close, and when I was a young person... We had the acceptable behaviour contracts, which I think still are about now, but just below an ASBO, which didn't really do much, if I'm honest.
What did you do to get it?
For me, it's just I was bored on the streets causing trouble, criminal damage, had no respect for anyone or anything. But a lot of it stemmed down to was boredom and me wanting to be recognised and heard. And I think that's where... it's quite big on the sort of the impact of youth work, and youth work is what saved me. And I think it's not solely the answer, but I think that's what needs more investment. It's actually people seeing the value of value and impact of youth work, and youth workers being able to come alongside the young people and sort of help them understand, like you said, the root causes, help them understand what's going on for them, what's happening in their lives is resulting in them getting involved in anti-social behaviour.
What are the root causes?
I think is boredom, some of it. Some young people, like I said, for myself, wanting to be recognised, wanting to be heard, wanting stuff to do, or having like a lack of role models and positive role models. So They're seeing things around like people on the streets or people doing things where that's the people they're looking up to rather than seeing different opportunities.
What role models should they have that they do not have?
I think for me, it's like having just people that they push them and sort of show them that they can succeed, and sort of in an area where we're from, like North West and South Bristol, there's not many opportunities. There's not much sort of job opportunities, and people tend to not sort of want big careers and things like that. The role models being able to show them actually this is achievable. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to be the same as this. But just because you're from North West, for example, you don't have to just settle for this. There's a much bigger world out there.
Yeah, it's difficult to know how to address that. Katie, I hear you in the background. What do you want to contribute further?
I was just really enjoying listening to Levi talking about what he's talking about, because I've got a 12-year-old son and I really worry about his next few years, because, as I said, I'm a single parent and there's not a lot to do for the young people in Bournemouth, and I've looked into it a lot. He does do lifeguarding, which is amazing, but you know, I do see kids loitering around a lot, and there are lots of drugs and alcohol problems around here. And it does, you know, it does worry me. And I think it's really important to give kids a good, solid upbringing so that there is lots of stuff to do around, because there are so many influential people who could help the kids more if there is more funding involved. You know, Bournemouth is, you know, you go down to the beach in the summer, there are these kids. You know, I saw some kids this summer who had a BB gun and they were shooting the pigeons and the seagulls on the beach. And, you know, there's just not enough engagement, I don't think. I think it's obvious that there's stuff that needs to be done.
What sort of gun was that?
Sorry.
What sort of gun was
that? It was a BB gun. It was a BB gun.
Hmm.
And I work at a bird sanctuary. Dreadful. And I actually took, I volunteered at the bird sanctuary down the road. And we actually took this bird to the bird sanctuary and it didn't survive. And there's a fair bit of cruelty that goes on with the birds around here.
What's going on in their lives?
Boredom.
I've been bored. I was bored when I was a kid. Lots of time I wouldn't go killing birds.
Yeah,
risk of sounding sanctimonious. But you know what I mean? It's just kind of what's going on in someone's life that makes them think that's okay. That's something to do. That's something they'll derive pleasure from. I want to bang my head.
I mean, I'd love to help out more in the community. I'm really pro doing stuff for the community, but I just haven't found my people yet down here. I'd like to help out. I like to volunteer. I'd like to do anything I can to give myself a better social life as well, and to make.
Is there a neighbourhood WhatsApp group? I'm hearing you. Is there a neighbourhood WhatsApp group? You know, people in the community.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Get on it.
They're good.
Yeah, very important. And it gives a great sense of cohesion as well. Katie, it's been really good hearing from you. Thank you. And Peter in Walthamstow as well. I'll get Danny to give us his thoughts in a minute before he toddles off. Not that I've ever seen him toddling. Peter in Walthamstow, what's happening there?
Well, I'm not sure. Does it count as antisocial behaviour? I was in my local Tesco Express. They get robbed on a regular basis. Three young guys. They know who they are, but they can't do anything about it. And the weekend, they got done for about £7,000 worth of produce. This is about 8 o'clock in the morning, and there were customers in there, and the staff in there, but the staff are impotent. They can't do anything about it. They're told by head office that they can't touch anybody. So it's just an ongoing thing. Chatting to one of the guys who works there, he showed me a film of another robbery in Wanstead, which is just down the road, where they've got screens up and that kind of thing. The guys jump over the screens. They've got the sort of false ceiling. They come down, they steal all the booze and all the cigarettes, and nobody did anything about it. And the police don't seem particularly interested, and I assume that the head office can claim everything back on the insurance, but it's just not a really great thing for the community, really. That's all I wanted to say. I mean, it just seems to be ongoing.
And you've said it, and that's a refrain. Danny, a quick word on this. Danny Shaw, before you do go, policing and justice commentator. We hear this again and again and again. They know who they are, they do it again and again, but no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think that this plan is aiming to tackle, because what we haven't mentioned is, apart from the new orders that are coming in to tackle antisocial behaviour, that Labour is committed to putting 13,000 extra police officers, community support officers and special constables, their volunteer officers, into neighbourhoods over the next few years. Because what they want to see is more of a presence on the high streets in town centres to crack down on shoplifting, robbery and antisocial behaviour. Now, I think, you know, visibility is one of the themes that, you know, we've been hearing about from your callers. No one comes when we raise the alarm. There's no one there to tackle the people who are causing a nuisance on the streets. I think if you start to get that presence back into neighbourhoods and a sense that the police are there with the orders, I think that might help in the long run. But I would just say one final thing, Nikki. The figures on this are very confusing, but one set of figures from the Office for National Statistics that does a survey of antisocial behaviour suggests actually that it's been in decline for the last 15 years. The number of incidents is actually falling. The incidents per head of population is on the decline. That doesn't make it any better for a local community or local neighbourhood that's suffering from antisocial behaviour. But I don't think that we should get the impression that it's somehow so much worse now than it was 15, 20, 30 years ago.
Thanks, Danny. As ever, Danny Shaw, Annie in Isleworth. Anna, hi. Good morning. Welcome. Are you there? Hi, Anna. Are you there?
Hi.
We got you.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can now, which is good. What happened?
Well, I was... My point really was about how sound, hearing the noises of people that live around you when you're trying to sleep can really, really destroy people's lives. And, you know, as lots of people suffer from sleep deprivation anyway, so that can be really tricky. But I just had a little nice little anecdote about being woken up at 3 a.m. by really loud rap music from the station just near whereby I live. I'm out of breath because I'm walking to work, but I was sort of, I looked out the window, I got really kind of wound up, and I said to my husband, "Shall I shout at them?" And he said, "No, please don't do that." So I tried to get back to sleep, but I couldn't. So in the end, I got up, got dressed, got the dog, and I walked around there. And I was a bit nervous, thinking I had a plan, because I knew that where they were hanging out was on the other side of a really tall new set of railings. So if I needed to, I could just run away. Anyway, I went up to them, and it turns out even though their music was really loud and their puffs of weed were really big, they were actually just two little boys. They looked, I don't know, maybe they looked younger than they were, but they looked about 15. And I went up to them, I just spoke to them through the railings, and I said, "Oh my God, I can't sleep. Your music's echoing all the way around the neighbourhood, and it's probably not just me. You're probably waking lots of people up." And the boy immediately said, "Oh, is it?" and turned it off straight away, and said so he was sorry. They didn't know. They were a bit the worse for wear. So they probably hadn't realised that it was nice and loud for them, but not for everyone else. And also they were young. you know, and we all know that teenagers often don't have much empathy. And in fact, that's often the last thing we learn as we grow up, is to be empathetic with other people. Anyway, I felt it was a really positive experience. And then I mentioned that I liked their lyrics of their artist they were listening to, because of course it was so loud I could hear every word. and then they said, oh yeah, well, he's local, you know, he's an artist called Nines or something, but he's from near where we live. And then they gave me a little fist pump through the railings, you know, like respect, because
brilliant call. I mean, I'm half expecting the next bit is you have some, you know, you smoke some of their weed, but whatever. What that didn't happen. But we all sat down and got stoned. But Liz, what a brilliant call, Anna. Thank you very much. There's so much in that as well about, you know, what's at the heart of this. Anna in Isleworth, a local hero. Thank you. Get in touch. It's 9:35.
The voice of the UK
and the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Big speech from the new Home Secretary later on this. Antisocial behaviour and you, is it, in her words, corroding your community? Get on the radio. 9:35, here's the news. Nick Hatfield.
Thank you, Nikki. Good morning. Israeli airstrikes on Hezbollah targets continued overnight as thousands of people fled their homes in southern Lebanon. The country's health ministry says almost 500 people were killed yesterday. Lebanon has accused Israel of indiscriminate attacks. Sir Keir Starmer will make his speech at the Labour Party conference in Liverpool later, in which he'll warn of a shared struggle ahead. But the Prime Minister will also say there is light at the end of the tunnel for Britain. Meanwhile, the Labour Cabinet Minister, Pat McFadden, has told 5 Live that getting the public finances sorted is an inescapable duty of being in government. He was defending cuts to the winter fuel allowance for pensioners. And a former Harrods boss says he witnessed abhorrent behaviour from the late owner, Mohammed Al-Fayed, but he was not aware of any sexual abuse. James MacArthur, who was chief executive for 10 months in 2008, told the BBC his time at Harrods was unpleasant. Let's get the sports news now. Here's Katie Smith.
England leg spinner Adil Rashid says he has no plans to retire anytime soon as England attempt to rebuild their white ball sides. The 36-year-old is the only player alongside Jofra Archer who won the 2019 World Cup and is playing in their current series. Today is must win for the hosts against Australia in their third ODI at Chesterley Street. We've got commentary coming up on Sports Extra from 12:15. Elsewhere, Manchester City midfielder Rodri will have further tests on the knee injury that looks set to rule him out for an extended period of time. He travelled to Spain for initial tests yesterday after being subbed off in the first half of their 2-2 draw with Arsenal. Sources have told BBC Sport further tests are required to discover the exact extent of the problem. Rafa Nadal's been included in Spain's squad for the Davis Cup finals in Malaga in November. It could be his farewell event. The 22-time Grand Slam champion has suggested this is his last season of playing, and he hasn't taken part in any competition since the Paris Olympics. And jockey Rachel Blackmore faces a spell on the sidelines after injuring her neck in a fall on Friday. An exact diagnosis or time frame for her return hasn't yet been given.
Matt Shawley,
BBC Radio 5 Live.
We are looking for a member of Matt's Parliament for New Forest East. Mick has got a claim. Hello, Mick.
In 1997, I proposed in a little hotel. I was actually in the bathroom.
What?
We were getting ready for dinner and I wanted it all to be sort of sorted before we went in and celebrated.
Lisa Nadi, such a state of culture, major sport.
We're toughening up the system to make sure that people who are unfit owners can't become football club owners.
Matt Shawley,
Monday to Friday from 2
on BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker
to play BBC Radio 5 Live. Nikki Campbell.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Here's a text. As a community safety manager for a council, antisocial behaviour offenders are getting younger. I'm not one for prosecuting young people, but in the same breath, we need more low-level powers to deal with under-16s. I've dealt with young people as young as 7. Responsibility does not sit all with police. Parents could be held more accountable. Landlords as well, or parenting contracts, for example. And this text from Liz in Starbridge. In fact, it's not just a text from Liz in Starbridge. It is Liz in Starbridge. Good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning. Hello. Hi.
Right. And Jamie's coming up in Bude and Nathisa in Bradford. All good. Liz, your town centre, Starbridge. Tell us more.
Okay. So this was several years ago, and I just wanted to come on and sort of give an idea of what can be done if you can get support from the council and the police. So Our local park, God, it just got taken over. Nobody wanted to go there. It was a lot of drug taking going on. The local play area had needles on it. Nappies were put on. There was even human poo there. It was rubbish. It really got out of control. It was partly because I think the council had got cuts and they weren't maintaining it like they had done. Some of my ladies I knew at the school, because it's right by the primary school as well, they contacted the police. The police suggested we set up a friends group. We did. And we had so many people help out, sort of clean up that park those first few times. We got special sharps boxes. We got help from the local school caretaker. We really cleaned up the park. And that was 8 years ago. And there's still a group of about 10 of us that meet regularly and clean up the park. We do hold events there, like summer picnics, Christmas carols, things like that. It's not perfect, but it's so much better. And, you know, you see families playing there, old people, everyone. And it's just sort of saying that if you all get together, you can do something, but you do need support from the council and the police as well.
That's kind of the broken windows thing that Danny was talking about earlier on. You get the little stuff right, and then everything else can not fall into place completely, but can get better.
Totally, and that's why I texted, because I thought, yeah, that really resonated with me when I heard that, the broken windows idea. Yeah, I think it is true. It's not perfect, but it's so much better, and it got lots of community involved.
And drug problems as well at the heart of this, because I know two dogs have really suffered eating, going into the woods and eating stuff on Clapham Common. One died, you know, crystal meth or whatever in people's waste. Another one, it made it through the stomach pumping and the being on the drip for 2 weeks. But, there's that as well, isn't there? The amount of people taking drugs.
It was drug taking going in a part that was particularly bad. So we found stuff under the bushes. Things like that, where, you know, it was outside the primary school. Kids mess around, don't they? They go through bushes. They're just playing. But the thought that there was needles and drug-taking equipment there, really horrible and frightening. And you wouldn't want it. You would not have wanted your kids to play in that park at that time. But it's not perfect, but it's so much better. And we do regular clear-ups. We do occasionally see drug-taking equipment that gets dealt with and reported, but it's nowhere near like it was.
What's the word they always use? Paraphernalia. Thank you, Liz. I'm so pleased you texted us. Thank you. 85058, any more? We're going to hear Yvette Cooper a little bit later on. It's not a very long speech, so you can listen to it, then react to it. That'll be good. Jamie in Bude. Hi, Jamie. And Nathisa in Bradford. You both there?
Hi, yeah.
That's good. Nathisa, you've had a lot of bad experiences. Give us some examples.
Yeah, so just in our local park, some kind of secondary school kids, I'd say under 16, kind of hanging around in groups in the park. My husband used to kind of go for walks in the morning, so he'd kind of get harassed by them and kind of verbal abuse, just kind of unprovoked. And it kind of like escalated where they'd kind of notice what time he's coming to the park, and then they'd kind of know what car he drives, and then they'd come around the area in our street. And then there was a point where they were hanging around our car, and then I think we'd come back from town one day, and they were kicking the ball about near the car to kind of get a, you know, provoking and kind of trying to get a reaction. And then I think my husband had to call the police because it was just getting a bit out of hand, because it would just slowly kind of escalate every few days. You'd just see him appearing in gangs and walking around, making you feel intimidated. And I think one day they kind of turned up in front of the house and just sat on the wall. And I've got young kids, so it's not very nice, you know, going through that experience. And even like talking about it now, it's quite triggering for us. But yeah, it was just such an awful experience, just swearing and just hanging around in gangs and just making you feel really uncomfortable and as if, you know, they're going to do something to you, your property. And I think they did. We got our car broken into, and until this day, I know that it was something to do with those group of kids. We did report it to the police, but nobody really came out. Just said, oh, you know, are they still there or have they gone? And because they'd left, I think, within like 10 minutes. Sorry?
No, that was somebody else coming in, speaking off stage, as they say. Nafisa, this is really disturbing, and the verbal abuse and the hanging around. And I think what you're saying will be recognised by many, you know, just the ongoing intimidating behaviour. I'd like you to listen to Jamie as well, who's a youth worker. And I think, and I'd like you to respond to what he says, perhaps. And Simon in Darwin, I'll bring you in first of all, Simon, then Jamie can respond to what yourself and Nafisa have said. Good morning, Simon. What would you like to say?
Good morning. I think the general problem with antisocial behaviour, and some people, you know, might take issue with it, but ignorant people raise yet more ignorant people. And I think that's the problem. If I think back to 20-odd years ago, I'm 40 years old, but I think back to 20-odd years ago when I was at high school, those kids that we all know them, back of the class, lower sets, didn't try hard, antisocial behaviour then, they're now the parents of teenagers that are doing exactly the same things that their parents did. And, you know, we're just sort of pushing that can further down. I'm a martial arts instructor. I've been one for 20-odd years, and it's in a deprived area. You know, East Lancs, old mill town, industry was decimated decades ago, you know, and it's tough for some people, it really is. And, you know, what I see is some kids that, you know, need to, you know, want to get off the streets and want to achieve something and learn some discipline. And I think that's half the battle, is discipline, is understanding the rights and wrongs. And when parents let the kids do whatever they want because they were raised that way, we're just continually going to have this cycle again and again. And it's destroying the fabric of the country, let alone my town, whether it be Blackburn, Darwin, Accrington, Burnley, Oswestry. You know, that's just in my vicinity. It's just again and again that we're seeing this.
Yeah,
I think some of the points Simon's raising are
is that
really
you, Jamie?
Relevant. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Pick up, as a youth worker yourself, pick up that intergenerational culture of disrespect and a lack of discipline. He's got a point, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think there is a lack of discipline, but I think we need to sort of zoom out quite a bit. I mean, if you look at society on a whole, I think apathy is quite a predominant thing within society. So, I mean, I work in a small town in Bude, and we're quite behind on a lot of things. You know, we're catching up with the rest of the nation. But, you know, antisocial behaviour is something that does happen down here. And it's mainly because they're bored, because nobody actually gives a crap about what is actually happening in their lives. There's a lot of...
Including their parents?
Sorry?
Including their parents?
I wouldn't know, but I mean, there's a lot of deprivation down here as well. So, I mean, the whole point that Simon was making about ignorance is a really valid point. I mean, it's that understanding. And there's an old saying that, you know, it's not a parent that raises a child, it's the village. So it's, you know, if we zoom out a bit, how much do the councils care? How much do you know, the other multi-agencies care about what is actually happening to these young people within these small pocket communities? And I think society has a lot to answer for that. You know, it's a
society.
Really tricky. Yeah,
society
it's a really
has
tricky
a
topic.
Okay, we are all part of society. What do we have to answer for?
I think a lack of empathy for these young people who live in our communities and don't feel part of the community. There's a real divide between them being these sort of young children, and then they grow through to the ages of, what, 12, 13, and then there's this big gap before they're actually deemed adults.
Are they demonised?
I don't know if they're demonised. I think that's quite a strong end of the stick there. But I think they're...
not understood.
Yeah, not understood, but not thought of. They're quite inconsequential until something happens.
Disregarded.
You know, it's a bit like flea treatment. Mm. You know, you put on a preventative to treat fleas on your dog or your cat or your pet. There's no preventative action. I mean, I've been running a youth club for 9 years off my own back, not paid for or anything like that. And we have 62 kids turn up every Tuesday for 2 hours. And, you know, the local rugby club lenders that building for free. So it's there is that ability for the community to band together. And the lady previous was really right, trying to get the councils involved and trying to get it, you know, up to the top of their list. Because, you know, in the end, they are the future. I think Whitney Houston said that. But, you know, that's where we're looking at, you know, and it's quite a scary thought to think that some of these young people who don't feel like the community cares about them, how are they going to be when they get to, as Simon said, that age where they're bringing up young people?
Yeah. Well, well done for you for you know, trying to make a difference, and I'm sure you do make a difference. It sounds what you do sounds amazing. Simon and Darwin, that's the point, isn't it? If people don't care for them, why should they care for anyone else?
It's absolutely spot on, and what we see, you know, having, you know, I grew up amongst these people, and I grew up on a terrace street, if you will. You know, I lived in a council estate for a few years when I was a child. You know, a lot of people are in the same boat, and I understand that. It's what you do with your life that matters. And, you know, and I appreciate that everybody has, you know, a different set of challenges. I absolutely do. But if you want your children to do well, you need to nurture them. You need to drive them in that positive direction. And we're just on, like, probably at least the third, probably fourth generation of what I can only describe as apathy and ignorance from some family members. You know, I know these people, you know, I grew up with these people, and it beggars belief. But what I think is, you know, I challenge this kind of behaviour. I was in Blackburn Town Centre with my 8-year-old twins the other day on Saturday, and there was a kid kicking a bronze statue in the head of a grandmother and a child. It's right outside the train station in Blackburn. And I went, "What are you doing?" You know, and he's like, "What do you mean?" And I just went, "Why are you kicking it?" And he's just couldn't explain it. It was mindless behaviour for no reason whatsoever. And I always challenge it where I can. And obviously, you've got to be careful in today's world. You don't know who's carrying a knife and all that, no matter how young they might be. But I always challenge it. And I think people have got to challenge this behaviour, because if they don't, these people who are perpetrating it will just think it's okay. You know, we can't just rely on the police. We've got to challenge it where we see it. And
I challenge it, but I've come a cropper, you know. Challenging it, but
it's probably those in groups, right? It's probably those in groups. You know, you get one,
yeah, it's groups.
On the road, they'll be okay, but then it's that group, yeah. Group think, isn't it? Where they think, "What are you going to do about it?" And sometimes just making your point and walking away is all you need to do. And, you know, just make the point, challenge it, at least challenge it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about character over reputation as well. A lot of kids don't know what values are, what virtues are. You know, none of this is taught in, you know, in schools or by parents. You know, there's a lot around building your own character instead of, like, trying to chase what people think of you, and this sort of infamy that these young people are looking for now. And when you actually approach these young groups, like the lady said earlier, you know, they are actually, there is a decent human being underneath all of that, and that's, you know, that's what we're here for, to be as decent a human being as we possibly can, and that's moral value.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule.
I'm going to have to shoot, because I've got to go and do some youth work.
Good for you. Good, 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 good. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Take care. Nathisa, are you still there?
In Bradford? I am, yes.
Yeah. Do you have an empathy for the people who are doing the intimidating? Do you look beyond that and think, what's going on in their lives? Maybe they are the ones being ignored. This is a kind of, some might think it's a bit of a kind of hand-wringing, you know, guardianista attitude. But is there something in it, Nathisa?
I do, in a sense, because I think
there's quite a lot of places, like community centres around, that have, like, shut down. You know, they've got nothing to do. So they kind of, like, you know, one of the speakers said that they're bored. So, you know, they don't know what to do with themselves. They do need that guidance, obviously, as well, from, I think, everyone, to be honest, society, whoever these kind of people kind of come across with. I mean, I try to have a conversation with those group of lads saying, oh, you know, what is it? And, you know, why are you doing this kind of thing? Which they don't really have an answer to. And you can just tell, you know, from the expression on their face that they don't really know why themselves. I think those centres and things that have closed, I think, like community centres and places that they can do things, if they'd reopened or there's more things available to them, even like through schools, maybe if they have like after school clubs or activities that they can attend to, I think they'd be more kind of grounded or, you know, interested in doing something with themselves.
I remember all the stories in the Edinburgh Evening News in the mid-70s and all the radio phone-ins then that I, surprising lot, I used to listen to avidly and sometimes go on. I remember people going off, oh, there's no community centres anymore. They're closing the community centres. All that was going on then and it's going on now. And goodness me. Ross in Oxford. Thanks, Nathisa. Good morning, Ross.
Hi, Nick. Just to say I wasn't a perfect youth, but the reason I phoned up is I knew that this conversation would sink into how it's feral kids, blah, 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 bad parenting. I live in the centre of Oxford. Our lives are made an absolute misery by well-to-do, moneyed kids, students who make our life an absolute misery.
Tell me more.
What excuse have we got for them if it's not parents bringing them up well and all that? From 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the morning down my street, we have hundreds of them come past, screaming, shouting, shopping trolleys, damaging cars, peeing in your gardens. These are the educated people of our country.
These are the future prime ministers.
Yeah, no, well, exactly. These people are terrible, Nicky. I wish their parents could see what they're up to on us. Well, every night, really. And you hear girls screaming at 3 o'clock in the morning. You used to get out of bed to look out the window and make sure they're safe. I don't do that anymore. It's absolutely terrible. And feral youth off our local estate because they've been driven out because we've become a student ghetto. And you have hundreds, gangs of 30, 40, screaming and shouting at 9 o'clock, going to the pub, and then we got them back at 3 o'clock in the morning, coming back. It's absolutely terrible.
We're not just talking, you know, Bullingdon Club and all that,
no,
you know, Dave and Boris and all that.
The student population in general round here.
Yeah, yeah.
But that ain't who Yvette Cooper's going to target. She's going to go after working class kids. We've seen it in her previous. And we just can't blame feral youth. It's across the board. But these kids are going to be given every opportunity. Well, they've been given every opportunity to get here in the first place. And yet we're going to go after these young kids who've got nothing.
Maybe that word demonised, which was maybe a bit strong earlier on, is applicable when we're demonising a demographic here, when, you know, it's across the board and it's more complex.
I find all this very anti-working class.
Do you?
Yes, I do. And we got problems here with students. No one's interested in that because if you complain about it, they say, oh, it's high spirits, it's high spirits. No, it's not. It's bloody antisocial behaviour at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we're surrounded by student housing. I don't care if they have a party till 12 o'clock at night. It's not a problem to me. I had parties. It's the screaming, the shopping trolleys, the running over your car.
What?
Well, not recently, but about 5 years ago, they actually had a relay race down our street where they run over the cars.
Yeah.
And you say to her, you phone up the university and say, look, we had loads of problems. Oh, how do you know they were students? Well, because there's no local kids around here. And anyway, we followed them back to the accommodation. But they actually had a relay race over our cars one evening.
Well, listen, let's see. You mentioned her. Let's hear what she has to say, Yvette Cooper. She's gone to the stay there. She's gone to the stage and she's just sat down. That's the breaking news. We all got in a fluster when she came to the stage. She thought she was going to go to the lectern. But the minute she does, that was an interesting call there from Ross, wasn't it? The minute she does and she starts orating, we'll be with it, see what she says, and I want to know what you say about what she says. That's the plan. 08085 909 693 85058 on the text. So to Liverpool very shortly, and we've been right around the country so far. So yeah, what is it like where you are? Is it corroding your community? We are talking about anti-social behaviour, and you.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Nikki Campbell.
The voice of the UK.
It's something that the new Home Secretary has addressed many times before. When she was at Shadow Home Secretary, she said some very similar things when she made a speech in February 2023 to those that she will be saying today. At the heart of it, rising street crime, antisocial behaviour, corroding the fabric of our communities. A lot of things are bracketed in that. Tell us about them. Harassment, intimidating behaviour, joyriding, nicking off-road vehicles, drug use, littering, street drinking. She's going to talk about quad bikes. She's going to talk about dirt bikes as well. And she's going to talk about hit squads targeting knife point robberies. She's going to talk about mobile phone companies needing to put in a kill switch of new phones to stop them being Nick, she's talking about, as I said earlier on, the big stuff and the so-called small stuff, which in many people's lives is really big stuff. Doesn't feel small. Get in touch. That's coming up very shortly. It's 1 minute past 10.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Message on WhatsApp 08085 909 693. Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms for our terms of use and privacy notice.
Quick bit of news. Here's Nick Hatfield.
Thanks, Nikki. Good morning. Hezbollah says it's fired a series of rockets at dozens of military targets in northern Israel. Lebanese officials say Israeli attacks yesterday killed almost 500 people. Thousands of residents have fled southern Lebanon with roads gridlocked. In his first Labour conference speech, his Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, will say there is light at the end of the tunnel in terms of faster economic growth and falling NHS waiting lists. But he'll also warn there are no easy answers. Earlier, the Cabinet Minister, Pat McFadden, defended cuts to the winter fuel allowance. He says getting the public finances sorted is an inescapable duty of being